Hi, I'm Renee Slade. I'm 36 years old. Today is Sunday, April the 25th. We're in Oak Park, Illinois, and I am interviewing my mother-in-law, Charlene Slade, and she's going to introduce herself as well.
Hi, Renee. I'm Charlene Slade. I am, as of Friday, 63 years old, which should be my mother, not me. And we are sitting here today on Sunday, April 25th, at Renee and Michael and Alana and baby X's house.
All right. So I wanted to do the interviews to be able to record some of our family history. So I'm going to start by asking you about your parents, who I knew both of your parents. But, of course, Alana will never remember your mom, and neither of our children will have known your father. And Alana was named after your dad, and baby Elise, cousin Elise, is named after your mom. So if that's okay with you, we can start with that, or we can skip to something else if you want to.
No,
okay. Why don't you talk about some of the memories that you had of them growing up and some of your family traditions?
Okay. So let's see. I think I can remember back as far as being maybe five. And we lived in a little apartment on the south side of Chicago, right across the hall from my grandma and grandpa, my mother's mother and father, who I used to call Bubby and Zadie.
Tell me their names.
Alice and Harold Hartstein. And what I remember most about that was we were really like one big happy family. And we both lived on the first floor, us on one side of the hall and them on the other side of the hall. And we used to leave the front doors open. And we'd run back and forth whenever we felt like it. But what I remember most is running next door and going, Bubby, Bubby, my mommy's killing me. And my grandmother then would give me whatever I wanted because I was the very first grandchild and I was very special to them, which they always made me feel. And we were all very lucky because my grandparents were alive really until my children were bar and bat mitzvah age. So we were very lucky. So I remember living on the south side of Chicago. And when I was 10 years old, we moved to Skokie, and we had our own house. It was a townhouse. And my grandparents thought we were moving to another country. It was so far away, because probably it was like an hour's car ride. But we were only there a few years when my grandparents moved up to Skokie also to an apartment. Our family was always a very tight family. My father's parents died when I was very young. I think my grandpa died when I was 2 or 3.
Do you know their names also?
I do. My grandpa was Oyser Shackman, and my grandma was Pearl Shackman, and Auntie Lori is named after Grandma Pearl. Her Hebrew name is Pessy for Pearl. So we were very close to my mother's family because we always lived very near them, and they were a very traditional family. We celebrated, besides celebrating all the holidays with them, both secular and Jewish holidays, we also always did Shabbos with my grandmother and grandfather, Bubby and Zadie, and lit the candles. And my grandma always had a huge crowd at our house for Shabbos dinner. I still can't figure out how she did it because she cooked for everybody. Her house was always immaculate. You could eat off the floor. She cooked everything from scratch. She had no mixmaster. She had no dishwasher. She beat everything by hand, and everything tasted just wonderful. Her best thing, she did two things that were wonderful. She made the best chocolate cake in the whole world, which I've tried to make many times, but it never comes out as high as her because I use a mixmaster. I don't beat it by hand. And she used to make something called kreut. And I don't know what that means, but it was essentially sweet and sour cabbage with meat in it, heavy meat. And it was delicious, and nobody ever made it after my grandma stopped making it. My parents never made it. But we always had a lot of fun together. Did a lot of things. When I was a little girl, my grandmother used to take me downtown on the train every Saturday to what used to be Marshall Fields. And we would have lunch in the Walnut Room and walk around the toy department. And she would always let me pick one thing. It was probably the 10th thing that I picked because everything was so expensive there. But my grandmother would have done anything for my brother Mark and I, and was just so excited to have grandchildren around and spend the time with them. I think the most important thing my grandparents gave to me, and what I believe my parents gave to my children, was time and just spending a lot of time with them. My father worked 3 jobs when I was growing up because he was trying to save money for college. And he used to be off on Tuesdays. So every Tuesday after school during the school year and on Tuesdays in the summer, he would always plan a special adventure for my brother and I. Whether it was going to play miniature golf, we used to go to, there was a kiddie land 9500 south. And we used to go to kiddie land, and then we would go right next door to a place for ice cream. It was called Rainbow, and it was Rainbow Sherbet, 3 scoops of different color sherbet. And that was really a very special treat to us. The only vacations we went on when we were little kids were we used to rent a shack on the beach in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And we would go with other families. I can't even remember who we went with because I was really young at the time. But what I do remember is my father, when we got up every morning, my father would have walked down to the corner bakery and he brought us back chocolate milk and cinnamon rolls. And that was a real highlight of spending, you know, special time with my dad. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She was there all the time. She was probably world's most wonderful cook. Wanted to make sure we ate. Everything was eat, 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 eat. If you didn't clean your plate, you were in real trouble, which is probably why I look the way I look today, because I'm so used to cleaning my plate. But she really tried very hard to be a wonderful mother to all of us. And, you know, I think it was really hard for her when she moved away from my grandparents because she was so used to all that support right across the hall. Like if she wanted to go out to the grocery store or whatever, they would watch us. But then when we moved away, it was a little bit harder. But it was a lot of fun. You know, I haven't thought about those years for a very long time.
So you talked a little bit about holidays with your family. I want you to tell me about Thanksgiving now is a holiday that when Mike and I were dating, he invited me to come to Thanksgiving at your house. And he told me that Thanksgiving is a very important holiday to my mom. And so as far as I know, you've always done Thanksgiving, but there must have been a time before you did it. So tell me about what Thanksgiving was like when you grew up and then how the tradition came to be that it was your holiday.
When I was growing up, all the holidays were at my grandmother's house. My grandma Alice, Bubby Alice. She had a dining room. She only lived in an apartment. She never had a house. Her dining room was enormous. And my grandmother had 2 sisters and 2 brothers, one of whom who died early on. But she had 2 sisters who were alive and a brother who was alive. Her one sister had no children, my Aunt Eva and my Uncle Jack. Her next sister, my Aunt Anna, had 2 children. Her brother, my Uncle Hyman, had 5 children. She had all of them at her house always for the holidays. My grandfather had 1 sister and 3 brothers. And there were times when she had all those people and all their children in her house. And people just ran around and ran around. There was always a lot of food. But as children grew up and got married, everybody couldn't be in the same house anymore because it wasn't big enough. So my grandmother always did the holidays. When my grandparents moved from the south side to the north side, they moved into a very small apartment. It was a senior citizen apartment. And my mother started doing the holidays then. And my mother did Thanksgiving.
So how old were you around that time?
Maybe 13, 14. And my mother did all the holidays, the Jewish holidays, as well as Thanksgiving and 4th of July and everything. My mother always entertained. Until my mother decided that it was time for Carol, my sister-in-law Carol, and I to start taking some of the holidays. So, truthfully, I said, I'll take Yom Kippur because it's the easiest one. But Auntie Carol said, no, she was taking Yom Kippur. It was fine because Carol always did one night of Passover and one night of Rosh Hashanah. And I used to do Hanukkah before Lori Shackman took it. So I would do Hanukkah and Thanksgiving. I don't know how it ended up that way. But once I started doing Thanksgiving, I loved turkey. I loved having the leftovers. And it seemed that, you know, once the kids were older and started going away to college, it was a time when everybody came home and was home together. And I think that's why I really like the holiday so much, because it was having everybody together. And, you know, that's, I love spending time with each of my children and grandchildren independently, but I love seeing the kids together. And what's important to me long term is that all my kids have a relationship. And that was, it was really always important to my mother, because my brother and I fought like cats and dogs when we were little kids. And it's just so interesting to see how things turn around.
Yeah, my brother and I fought too. I think all brothers and sisters fight.
I think so.
All right. So, going a little farther back, actually, right? I just finished interviewing your husband, Barry. And right at the end of his interview, he was telling me about, just very briefly, he said you had a grandfather who was in a coma for 6 months. So tell us that story.
I only know this story from my Zadie telling it to us.
This is
Alice's husband, Harold.
Harold.
Did you ever meet them?
No.
No. Because my grandmother was still at Lori's bat mitzvah. But no, Michael would have only been 18 then. He didn't meet you till he was 19, right? 18.
21.
Okay. Okay, so my grandfather, at that point in time, I think he was driving a milk truck or a pop truck, some kind of truck with bottles on it. And he was in a car accident.
How old was he?
Young. My grandma said she had 3 little girls, because my mother has 2 sisters. So they were young. They were newly married.
Okay.
And he was driving a truck that had bottles on it. I think it was soda pop, not milk, but I could be wrong. And he was in an accident, and there was an accident. He fell out of the truck, and the bottles fell on top of him and hit his head. And he was in a coma for, I don't know if it was 6 months, but for many, many months. And they didn't know if he was going to be okay or not. And then one day he woke up and was fine. That's how they tell the story.
Was he back to normal? He just woke up and he was fine?
Yeah, he was fine. He had, my grandpa had a very rough life. He had, he came here from the old country. Did Barry tell you that story too?
Tell us that story.
Okay. My grandfather came on a boat from Romania. When they came to Houston, Texas. And when they got to Texas and they all had to go through a health screening, my grandfather had chicken pox. So, first of all, his father had come to the United States earlier, left his mother and all the children behind, and then sent for them. So his mother was on the boat with all the children, and my grandfather had chicken pox. They sent them all back. Of course, by the time he got back, he was fine, and they turned around and came back. But his father had to make enough money to send for them. So they came to the United States in through Houston, and he grew up in, I want to say like Kirksville, Missouri, is where he met my grandmother. And they were very young when they got married. And my grandmother was just a beautiful woman at that time. I mean, she was even till the day she died, but she was really a beautiful young woman. And they got married young and had children right away. And she had 3 little girls when he was in this accident. When he was okay, he did something with cars and auto parts. And eventually, the job that I remember my grandfather in was he owned his own newsstand on the corner of 12th and Wabash. So it's Wabash and Roosevelt Road. And it was a newsstand right outside of a liquor store. And he had a terrible accident there as well. A drunk driver crashed into the newsstand, which came down on him. And that's when he really started getting debilitated. He had his leg was broken in, I don't know, many places. And he was in a very long time in rehab. And after that, he always walked with a limp and always had a lot of pain in his leg. But, you know, he worked hard his whole life. He was outside in the cold weather. And this is Chicago, and it gets cold in the winter. And he was always very generous with his money. He helped to bring my grandmother's one sister who was left in Europe, to bring her and her family over. And he was very generous with his brothers and their wives, and always gave everybody whatever he had. So he was a very generous man, and he was a very loving and caring man. And after, probably when he hit about 75, he developed diabetes. And he lost his leg to diabetes from an infection in his foot, and just never came back after that. He didn't want to live. He just said he wasn't a whole person and didn't want to live. And we, you know, tried to have a psychologist talk to him and everything, but he just lost his will to live then. And when my grandfather died, my grandmother sat herself down in a wheelchair, and she was done living too. And she probably lived just a couple more years after that. But we were lucky because we had him around for a very long time. So my grandfather died sometime between Allison's bat mitzvah and Lori's bat mitzvah. So that would have been, if Allison was born in 76, so that would have been somewhere between 89 and 92. And my grandmother died just after Lori's bat mitzvah.
Can you talk about, Barry was also telling me that there were relatives, when they were still, in Europe, who hid in the water. Do you know anything? He said people would hide in the water from the soldiers who were coming.
From the Nazis?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Before that.
I don't know. My grandfather was a wonderful storyteller, and I'm sorry we didn't record his stories. But Barry used to sit with my grandfather for hours and talk about these stories, and he has a much better memory than I do. So I don't know about that.
Okay, I'll have to get him to talk about that. So one of the things, changing focus, you and I have that we share is that we're both medical professionals. And it actually... I appreciate very much that you are a working mother, because I think it helps me in my relationship with Mike that he grew up with a working mother, and so he supports what I do. He supports that I work and that my work is important, because I think a lot of men don't have an appreciation for that. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about how you decided to become a nurse and the process of becoming a nurse and how you went on in your career as a nurse, because your career really spanned from, you know, being a nurse and then becoming an administrator. So I wanted you to talk about that.
Okay. I decided to be a nurse as far back as I can remember. When I was growing up, women were generally teachers, or they went to secretary school, and they were secretaries. My father had two sisters who were nurses, my Aunt Bertha and my Aunt Clara. And when they used to talk about their work, and I didn't see them very often because they lived in New York, but it was so interesting to me. And I was always very interested in medicine and healing. And I can remember once I was about 14 or 15, and I opened up the refrigerator, and a bottle of Coke fell out, and in those days all the bottles were glass, broke, a piece of glass came up and cut my leg, which I have a scar on my leg, and you could see my bone. My mother started screaming at me, clearly remember this, "My floor, my floor." And my father whipped me off to the emergency room, And I remember sitting up and watching them sew my leg up after they put Novocaine in and explaining to me what they were doing. And the nurse that was there held my hand and was very sweet and everything. I just, as far back as I can remember, I wanted to be a nurse. My father said he would not allow me to go to nursing school unless I went to college, because he had not gone to college and he felt it was very important that I went to college. And his sisters both told him that the future of nursing, you had to have a college degree. So I went to a 4-year university.
So were you the first person in your family to go to college?
My mother had 2 years of a junior college, but my father did not.
So you would have been the first to get a college degree.
Correct. Right. So I went to school at the University of Illinois, which was a 4-year Bachelor of Science in Nursing program. And as I went through nursing school, first I thought I wanted to be an OR nurse. And then I didn't like it at all because you really didn't get to talk to the patients. You were just kind of the surgeon's handmaiden. So I decided that wasn't for me. And I fell in love with pediatrics. And the summer between my freshman and sophomore year in college, I worked at Skokie Valley Hospital as a nurse's aide. And I got to work on the floor that had some children. And my favorite time was always talking to the kids. The summer between my sophomore and junior year, I worked at University of Illinois, and I wanted to work in pediatrics. So I was assigned to the pediatric division. But the director of nursing, there were 7 different peds units. The director of nursing hired 14 students, and she gave no one their choice. You two are going to the newborn nursery. You two are going to the preemie nursery. You two are going to 14 East, which was pediatrics. You two are going to 13 East, which was kids 5 to whatever. 14 East was newborn to 5. 13 East was 5 to 13, and you are going to adolescence. And I got stuck, I thought, in the preemie nursery. But I fell in love with it. You know, the tiny babies, and there's probably nothing as rewarding as having a really sick baby and sending it home to a family who really wants the child and loves the child. So I really liked it. I worked in that nursery then during the school year, the next 2 years, all the summers. When I graduated, I took a job there, and I went on nights for 6 weeks, which was hard. But in those days, we only had one RN on the night shift. And, you know, unfortunately, you learned by doing. And I learned an awful lot. We had very sick little babies there. Unfortunately, a lot of them, they had parents who really never even came to see them. But I worked there from before I graduated. I graduated in 69. I worked there until 72. And in 1972, one of our graduating neonatal fellows was going to Lutheran General to set up a high-risk nursery because they had always shipped out their sick kids. And he asked me if I would come with and hire a nursing staff and train the nurses. And I went up to Lutheran General to talk to them, and they had never hired a head nurse from outside of the hospital. They always promoted from within. They didn't have anyone who had the expertise of caring for sick babies. So they hired me, and Henry Mangerton, who was the neonatologist, we had made an agreement that if I got up there and after a year there weren't any sick babies, there would be no hard feelings if I went back to the university. But, of course, we had tons of sick babies. And we started out in a borrowed room of the newborn nursery where we set up 6 incubators, 6 beds. And we got some space, and we built a 16-bed unit. And that's really why I went back to work when I had Michael. Construction took longer than expected. Surprise, surprise. And it wasn't done. So I wanted to come back and get everybody moved into the nursery. And I was very lucky. I had a very, very supportive husband and an equally supportive boss who had also worked as her children were growing up, and they were much older than mine. So that was very surprising. So I went back to work, still as the nurse manager, head nurse of the preemie nursery, and we built a 16-bed unit and then a bigger unit, a 36-bed unit. And I was really lucky because this was kind of the forefront of true neonatal intensive care nursing. And Henry Mangerton and I had the good fortune of speaking all over the country on what we had done. And probably the highlight of what we focused on was really including the families in the care. And we started one of the very first national parent-to-parent support groups, and we did a lot of speaking around the country on it, did some publishing on it and everything. And then when I had my second child, I cut back to 4 days a week, but I worked four 10-hour weeks, still as the nurse manager. And then when I had my third child, Lori, I decided I was going to go back to graduate school and get a master's degree. But again, I was really lucky because the vice president of nursing convinced me to stay on, work weekends covering the house as the nursing supervisor, and chair the committee to develop a clinical ladder in nursing. And she assured me that it would help me write all my papers for graduate school. So I was really lucky I did that. It took me about 3 years where I just worked on the weekends. And then I'd pick up one or two evenings a week if a supervisor wasn't around. And then when I got my master's degree, the director of nursing for Women and Children's Services had resigned at that time. So I moved right into that role. And I worked as the director of nursing, really clinical director, for a number of years, and the hospital administration put in a new structure, a product line structure, and I became the administrator responsible really for the whole P&L statement for all of Women and Children's Services. And I had some wonderful opportunities. I set up, besides the neonatal transport program and an ECMO program, I also got to develop a whole proposal to develop an IVF program, in vitro fertilization. And I learned so much about that as we set it up, and we partnered with the Jones Institute in Norfolk, Virginia, which is really where the very first IVF baby in the country was born. So I had a lot of great experience, and I was in that job probably around 8 years when we got another new CEO, and he decided to do away with the product line structure. And they offered me a job to go back and be the director of nursing or to take a package. And I decided to take the package and leave. So I left. I think it's very important, I think, for women to have outside interests besides their kids, because you can just get swooped into everything about the kids. And even moms who don't work, you know, I just personally think it's important to have some interests outside of your house. My kids used to joke and say that I spent more time with them than some of their friends' mothers who didn't work, because when I was home, I always sent the nannies away, and I really spent the time with the kids growing up, and I cherished my days off and doing things with them. And, you know, my mother always used to say my kids were overprogrammed, but I wanted to give them everything I could. So it was a lot of fun. But I do think that everybody should make a decision about what's best for them, and those of us who love that person should support that decision.
So I'm glad that you had a perfectly way for me to ask my next question about your kids. So why don't you tell me about some of your favorite moments, whether it be proudest moments or most special, you know, pick one or two moments with each child of yours.
Okay. Let's see. Well, Michael is first. Michael was born on March 23rd, 1974. I was so excited. I was scared to death of labor because I thought I'm delivering where I worked. And what if I made a real scene and they all talked about me? So I was really worried. It was like nothing. It wasn't nearly as bad as I imagined. And Michael was born on a Saturday. And what do I remember most about him? He was a delightful, good, sweet baby. When Michael was about, I don't know, 3 months old, we had had a bad snowstorm. And my friend Cora, who lived way on the south side but worked with me, would stay at my house whenever the weather was bad. And Michael got sick. He had like a GI thing going. And Cora and I were both neonatal intensive care nurses. And I remember Michael throwing up. They had me give him like tea or something at that time. I'm trying to remember. Anyway, Michael started throwing up. It looked like coffee grounds. Cora and I were like, oh my God, what's wrong with him? This is coffee grounds emesis. He was fine though. And he got fine. I think, what do I remember most about Michael? When he was 5, he was the star of the school play. He was the Pied Piper. And I can still picture his little tiny body leading his way through everything. And his, his first grade teacher told me he was a very special little boy, which I already knew already. He loved sports tremendously, which made his father so happy because his father loves sports. I was probably most terrified when Michael came down a sledding hill right into a pole and came home with two black eyes. Fortunately, he was fine for that. I think probably, you know, I was proud of him all the time and loved to watch him debate, although I used to make him nervous. But I think what I remember the most clearly is Michael didn't get into any of the colleges he really wanted to go to. He's a really smart kid, but he's really pretty lazy in high school his first 2 years. And his first choice was Georgetown, and he didn't get into Georgetown. And he got into Tufts off the wait list. And Michael and I went to Boston to look at Tufts. And we were sitting in the orientation for Tufts less than 5 minutes when I knew he wouldn't go there, because the woman doing the orientation spiel said, and everybody who comes to Tufts gets a very well-rounded education. Everybody who comes here will get 2 years of a foreign language, no matter how much they've had it. And Michael hated foreign language. He looked at me, I looked at him, and I said, did you want to leave now? He goes, yep. So I said, where do you want to go? Because he and I were in Boston for the weekend. He said, oh, let's go to Harvard Square and walk around. I'm like, okay. So we parked and we went to a Chili's on the second floor to have lunch. We're sitting in the Chili's having lunch, and he took out the card to fill it out and say, I'm not coming to Tufts. We ate lunch, and we went for a walk, and we're walking through the Harvard campus, you know, which is just incredible the first time you see those big gates. And Michael said, you know what, Mom, I'm going to law school here. And I said, you get in, Michael, and I'll pay.
And that's what happened.
That's what happened. I can remember exactly where I was when Michael called me to tell me he got into Harvard Law School. And he was so excited, and I was so proud of him. I was in the airport in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I had been traveling all day. And remember, this is days before cell phones. I'd been traveling all day for work. And I called my secretary before I got on the plane. And she said to me, did you talk to your son? And I'm like, no, Kathy. And she said, you have to get in touch with your son. Here's where you can reach him. And I called him up, and he's like, Mom, I got into Harvard Law. So that was the highlight. And we were very, very excited, you know, about him doing well in law school and really loving it. And it made us really happy. We were also really happy at that time that he had found Renee, because if he hadn't found Renee, I don't think he ever would have found anyone in law school, because he never had time. He never picked his head up off the books. So that was very special. And I think my next most special time is, you know, when Michael and Renee told us they're having a baby. So we were excited. Allison is just a really special and fun little girl. Allison is 2.5 years younger than Michael. She was born September 6th, 1976. I was so excited to have a little girl because I really, really wanted to have a daughter. After Barry had his son, I thought it was really important that I got a daughter too. And let's see, what can I tell you about Allison? Allison was also always one of those kids that he had to do everything perfectly. I think she probably was a lot like Renee, that wanted to be the best at everything, really wanted to excel. She loved ballet. She took piano lessons. She did real well at piano. She loved that. I never had a single problem with her in school. She loved school and did really, really well at it. Allison also didn't get into her first choice for college, which was Brown University. She didn't get in there. And there was a saying going at our high school that nobody had gotten into Brown in like 10 years out of our high school. But Al went to Washington University, and she really did very well there and excelled. I was very proud of Allison when she got accepted to the Teach for America program. That was really important to her. And, of course, everything Allison has done, you know, in the last 7 years, setting up Namaste Charter School, getting the charter for it, really doing a ton of the fundraising and running it. I'm just absolutely in awe over what she has accomplished and she has done. She also never got into trouble. Like, I couldn't tell you she was ever bad. She just was always a really good little girl. We were always really worried about Allison because she was so little and so skinny. And she was never on any of the charts. But she was just the feistiest little girl. Strong and feisty. Allison was, you know, very, very devoted to and good to my parents. As all the kids were. But Allison was really made an effort, especially when she went away to school, to keep up with my mom and keep her, you know, updated as to what was going on. Allison has bright red curly hair. None of us know where it comes from. And she's terrific. And then there's the baby Lori. She's not my favorite. They are all my favorites in different ways. Michael used to always say that Lori got away with murder. I used to say I was just tired of fighting. I figured out what was important by then. Lori was in trouble. Lori was the one that wanted to try things. And Lori smoked a lot of pot and it drove me up the wall. I couldn't stand it. I would tell her she was killing her brain cells. And it made me really crazy and nervous. Lori, of the three kids, Lori was the most happy-go-lucky. She didn't care, and not everything rolled off of her. She just rolled with the punches, and everything really rolled off of her. She was very friendly. She had a big circle of friends. Lori was very into, and still is, you know, what's the coolest thing to wear? This is how I have to look. Lori went away to college and called me up and said, "Mom, all the girls here have Prada purses." And I'm like, "What's that?" But that's Lori. Lori has been very, very happy. I think Lori had a few really miserable years when all her friends were getting engaged and getting married. And she was, you know, she found something wrong with every boy she dated. But she has really found her match, and it's so nice to see her really happy. What can I tell you about Lori? When was I most proud of Lori? I'll be most proud of her if she gets that damn master's degree, which she promises me she's going to finish the paper for. All she has left is one paper. So, yeah, good kids. And now I'm very lucky because I have the apple of my eye, Alana. My granddaughter, who was born on my 60th birthday, and she's fabulous. And Elise, who's only a peanut 5 months old, but she's really developing quite a personality, and she's adorable too. So I feel very fortunate to have my babies around and be able to spend time with them. And, you know, I kind of feel right now I'm in such a good place in my life because I can still work a little, and I can spend time with the kids, and it's been really a good ride.
Let's wait, just in 1 minute left, okay. What are the things about being a grandmother that were what you expected and what's been different for you?
I honestly used to laugh at my mother when she would say, "You have no idea how this feels." It's a whole different thing because you take the time to enjoy every minute. And when I'm with Alana, and I talk about Alana because I've spent so much more time with her, when I'm with Alana, I don't think about if I have to do the laundry. I don't think about what I have to get at the grocery store. I don't think about the 100 things I have to do. I'm 100% with her and enjoying her and what she wants to do. I don't know if you remember this, but last Wednesday, when I came in the house to pick up the towels, and she came to say goodbye. I mean, she put her arms up around my neck, and she said to me very softly, "Thank you, Grandma. I had the best day ever." It's like you melt. You melt. You look at this little thing, and you smile, and you melt. And, you know, there's nothing more special than these kids. You know, my children, of course, our children, Barry's children, my children, were very special to us when they were little. But you're so worried with the everyday pieces of life that you don't really focus on the child. And honest to God, I can't even tell you how much I've enjoyed the days I've spent. They've been so special.
She loves them too. Thank you for talking with me today. Sure.